Okay, Proverbs chapter 7 tonight, and we're going to start reading with verse number 6. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement, and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths, a young man void of understanding, passing through the streets near her corner, and he went the way of her house, and in the twilight, and in the evening, in the black and dark night, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot, subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn, her feet abide not in her home or in her house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. She hath caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have a peace offering with me. This day have I paid my vow. Therefore come I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. And I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love. Till the morning, let us solace ourselves with love. For the goodman is not at home, and he has gone on a long journey. He has taken a bag of money with him, and will come home at the day appointed. With her much fair speech, she causes him to yield. And with the flattering of her lips, she forced him. And he goeth after her straightway, as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the corrections of the stocks, till a dart strikes through his liver, as a bird hasteneth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Verse 24, Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways, nor go astray in her paths. For she has cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way of hell, going down to the chambers of death. We talked last week that this is an admonition that our Father gives to His children. He's talking about a wild, unbiblical, human lusting sex life that takes us down the wrong path and destroys life. And so tonight we're going to look at the instructions and the training that He's given to us. The path that this is, chapter 7, is a path basically, a step-by-step fall into sin, and how that sin destroys the lives of those, even innocent people, not realizing the direction it takes them. It always ends in a broken life, a broken heart, a broken world. And so tonight, as we pray, we're going to look at our Proverbs chapter 7 and see how we can benefit from the teachings of our Father. Now, Father, teach us, we, your children. This is you sitting down with your kids, that's us, learning what you have for us. So please bless us as we learn tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So verse 6 through verse 27 is basically a step-by-step of how people fall into sin, and in this kind of sin. So let's take a look at number one. There's a lack of instruction and training that comes here. Notice in verse 7, beheld among the simple ones, I'm discerned among the youth, a young man void of understanding. Well, we already know the word understanding means. We've looked at that many, many times. It's one of the 10 words that we started this Bible study with. Understanding means to apply the view of God, to comprehend it and accept it. And this young person, this young man, has not done that. The word simple means unpleaded or has no defined lines in their life. As we grow, we start to develop lines that we don't cross. We know what our boundaries are. Life starts to teach us boundaries. But in somebody that's unpleaded or simple, there are no boundaries, and there are no lines. And so this young person has not established these things in his life. Now, this young person doesn't just mean young in age. I believe it means young in Christian life as well. or someone who has not grown in the grace and knowledge of the truth like they should. And it doesn't matter if you're young or old or rich or poor. We all can fit into this category when we don't grow in the grace of the Word of God like we should. Just because we've been saved a long time does not mean we're mature spiritually. Maturity spiritually means we become more and more dependent on God and less dependent on ourselves. But here we see a young man that's more and more dependent on himself than on God. So he's not mature spiritually. He's young. So here's a young man who's not been trained. He's not been taught properly. He has not placed in his heart the truths of God, accepted them, and applied them to his life. So we should start training early in our life, early in our Christian life. We've got to start setting down rules and regulations from the Word of God that God gives us. This isn't what we think is best for us. This isn't what other people think is best for us. This isn't what a church might think is best for us. This is God telling us, as our Heavenly Father, what's best for us. And we need to make sure we adhere to that which He's teaching us, these principles. So then, look in verse number 8. Passing through the streets near her corner, and he went the way of her house. So here he has time on his hands. He went out into the street at nighttime. He's passing through the streets. He doesn't have anywhere necessarily to go. There used to be a saying when I was young, idle hands are the devil's workshop. And so he's idle here. He has nothing to do. Notice the words passing through the streets. Here goes a young man headed towards sin. He's just beginning. He's hanging around in places he ought not to be hanging out in. He's going to locations he ought not to be going to. He's looking for something. He's on the prowl, if you will. He doesn't necessarily mean to be. That's our nature. Our human nature is to be looking for something to do all the time. So we need to stay busy. We need to have something in our life that we're busy doing. When we don't have anything to do, we get idle. That's always a step towards sin. It doesn't matter what kind of sin it is. That's a step towards sin. Why? Because we're leaving ourselves open to having an opportunity. Take your finger and leave it there in Proverbs chapter 7 and turn over, if you will, to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Now, I've preached a whole sermon on this section of Scripture before. I think I've done it here. I may even have it on the web page, but I want to talk about how sin happens, okay, and how this really is involved here with what's being taught. James chapter 1 and verse number 12, it says this: Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And when sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. And conception means two things are joined together, becoming one. And every man, when he is tempted, he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. When lust has conceived, it doesn't say what the conception thing is here. I believe it all, and I always have believed, that it's the word opportunity. Opportunity to sin. You can't sin unless you have an opportunity to sin. When we have idle time, we're not using our time to do something, to accomplish something, to have a purpose for our life, then we form opportunity for sin and idleness. And that's what's happening to this young man. He's walking down the street in Psalm in Proverbs chapter 7. He's looking for something to do. Now he's providing himself the opportunity to sin. Now look at verse number 8 as we continue. Passing through the streets near the corner, and he went the way to her house. Notice passing through the streets near her corner. If he hadn't been in the wrong place, he's on his way to the wrong place now. He wouldn't have gone to her house if he first didn't have idle time and then go down to the wrong place. He went the way to her house, it says. A person who doesn't drink is more likely to drink if he hands around a place that serves liquor. Now, just because you hang around somewhere that serves liquor doesn't mean you're going to serve liquor or drink liquor. But if you're, the more you're around it, the more it breaks down your resistance to it. The more you're around some people that swear, the more you think of swear words in your mind, and before you know it, they're coming out your mouth. Why? Because we become what we hang around with. And that's what's happening with this young man. He's going to the wrong place. He's hanging around in the wrong place. I'm not saying that if you hear somebody swear, you're going to swear, but if you're constantly around people swearing, they're going to affect you. If you watch the wrong kind of stuff all the time, then the wrong kind of stuff is going to affect you. If you listen to the wrong kind of jokes all the time, then those wrong kind of jokes are going to affect your mind. So everything that happens to us, that we allow to happen to us, can be a result of the atmosphere that we allow to be around us. And here this young man has gone down to the wrong location. He's going to a place where he already has the free time. He's already walking around at nighttime. He's out at late hours. We're going to look at that in just a moment. But he's hanging around the wrong crowd. He's gone to the wrong place to get to spend his time. Verse number 9 now. Let's take a look what it says here. And in the twilight, in the evening, in the black, in the dark night. There's a whole world at nighttime that exists that's evil. I'm just going to use the word evil because it is. In that nighttime life that many of us as Christians don't know about because we're sleeping. There's crime, there's rape, there's murder, there's breaking and entering, there's wild drug parties going on. There's a night world of sin that leads to wickedness because it hurts other people. Of carousers in this country and around the world. We must be careful then when we're at night. I remember we were in Africa. My son was with me. And oftentimes we'd work late into the night and late into the darkness and then work our way back to the house of the missionary that we were staying with and working with. And I remember one night, the ladies started coming out and men started coming out in the neighborhoods and they kept saying, "Preacher, don't you preacher stay out tonight. Tonight's going to be a bad night. Tonight they've got the wine ready." There was this, it was called palm wine. I don't know what it's made from. It's made from some kind of tree or plant they have there. I believe they take the roots of it, they put it in something, and then within 24 hours it really ferments quickly. And then it spoils almost as quickly as it turns into wine. And so there's a very narrow window where it'll get you smashed drunk in just a short period of time. And they said, "Tonight the wine will be ready. And there will be evil in the streets, and people will be harmed and hurt everywhere. So we're warning everyone to know that the wine will be in tonight." Isn't that weird? Isn't that odd? Now, this isn't the United States of America. This is Cameroon, Africa. And they know that in the nighttime, the evil that can transpire if we're not at the right place. And they said, "Make sure you don't go over here or go over there, and make sure that you're off the streets and you're not walking anywhere, because people are robbed, murdered, and raped during these nights that the wine's ready. Preachers, we don't want anything to happen to you." Now, this wasn't the missionary telling us. These were people in the village that we were staying at coming out and telling us all what we needed to know to keep us safe. So late hours, there's something about the darkness. Men like darkness rather than their light because their deeds are evil, the Bible says. So we got to be careful. He's walking in the night, in the twilight, in the dark night. In John chapter 3 and verse 19, it says, "Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Young people should not be allowed to stay out late at night." We shouldn't allow ourselves to be in the wrong place at the wrong time, late at night time. We need to be careful we use our time well. Now look in verse number 10. "Behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart. Clothes do make the man and make the woman." The way we dress is important because it says something about us. Now, I know that that's not popular in this time, in the year 2012. It's not popular to say that the way people dress affects how people act around you, but it does. The way we dress affects what other people think of us, and even how we think of ourselves and what we're saying about ourselves. And so it's important that we dress ourselves well and properly. We should always try to present ourselves in a modest apparel. Amen? It's a good thing. Improper clothing leads to improper attitudes, improper thoughts, improper areas. Here she has the attire of a harlot. Now, I don't know what it was like back then, the attire of a harlot. I know that my wife and I went to Hawaii many years ago now, and maybe 15 years ago. Maybe we went to Hawaii, and she's nodding her head, yes, and that's pretty good. I was pretty close on that then. Usually my time's really off. But we went to Hawaii about 15 years ago, and we were walking down the Princess Hotel. I know there's another word for it that we stayed at. Say it again. Princess Hotel. And so, and as we were there, we walked across the street. We were down by the beach. It was getting dark outside, and we had watched the sun go down as we sat on the beach. We got up, and we were dressed in a nice clothes, nice attire, kind of like we have on in church tonight. Not, we weren't in beach clothes. We weren't out swimming. We just went down to the beach to watch the sunset. And many people were dressed like us that had walked down to the beach, especially folks our age would walk down there and to watch the sunset. And as we're walking back, my wife, we were going towards an area, and my wife said, "No, don't go that way." I said, "Why not?" She said, "Look over there." And I looked over there, and I saw a lot of ladies standing there. And I said, "Why? What's wrong?" She said, "You don't know what that is over there." I said, "No." She said, "Those are ladies of the night. Those are harlots over there. They're streetwalkers over there. They're waiting for men to walk over in that direction. We're not going that way." And I thought, I said to her, "How do you know?" She said, "The way they're dressed. I don't really know what the dress of a harlot is. I don't know sometimes if you can tell the difference in this generation between the dress of a harlot and someone that's not a harlot but advertising that they are." We need to be careful how we dress, how we behave, how we look. Because how we look affects other people. And I know that we live in a generation that's a me generation that says, "Well, it's my body, I'll dress like I want to dress. And if they're going to have the wrong thoughts, they're the wrong person." But the truth is we are responsible for what we create in other people. We need to be careful then how we create an image for ourselves in other people's minds. So we need to be careful then how we dress. So we need to dress in a way that says I'm a Christian. In a way that says I'm going to do the right thing. So here, we got a warning here about the way she's dressed. And so now let's continue to read in verse 11. "And she is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house." Let's continue in verse 12. Now she is without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. So we see an unladylike conduct transpiring here. In Proverbs chapter 7, verse 11 and 12, we see unladylike conduct, and she's alone on the streets. Reminds us that a lady's supposed to have a meek and quiet spirit, the Bible says. A young lady is asking for trouble when she becomes rebellious and aggressive. Just like a young man, when he becomes rebellious and aggressive, he's looking for trouble. We ought to be careful that we never are alone on the streets. I worry about people all the time that I hear they're going to go somewhere late at night by themselves. Why? Because it's dangerous out there alone. Why would a lady want to go out alone at nighttime? Why would a young man want to go out alone at nighttime unless they're going towards something that could not be as pleasing as it should be or as good as it should be? So unladylike and ungentlemanlike conduct and being alone on the streets are more steps on that way to sin. It's all going in a progression. They're going somewhere. They're out late. They're not dressed as they should be. They're not acting like ladies and gentlemen. They're alone when they should be with other people. And then they start to get physically involved with someone. Verse 13, so she caught him and kissed him. And with an impudent face said unto him, I have a peace offering with me. This day I pay my vows. Therefore I come forth to meet thee diligently, to seek thy face, and have found thee. Now he doesn't even know who she is, and she doesn't know who he is, but they're out there doing things that they shouldn't be doing. Why? Because they're having improper conversation and improper action. Listen, romantic activity should be reserved for marriage. Again, that is not popular. I know this is the year 2012. I know I'm old, but that doesn't change the truth. We ought to be careful how we behave ourselves, because romantic actions lead to kissing leads to romantic actions that are to be reserved for the husband and wife. I was reading in the book of Matthew today, and the Pharisees and Sadducees came to Jesus and they said, what about divorce? Moses said we'd get divorced. What do you think about that? I'm just paraphrasing now. And Jesus said to them, basically, listen, you got that from him because of your hard-headedness and your hard-heartedness. And you didn't want to do the right thing. So I gave you a way to get out of some issues. But the truth is when I made man and I made woman, I made one man for one woman for one lifetime. And then when that lifetime's over, if that husband or that wife passes away, then you're free to go ahead and marry somebody else. But that's, God didn't intend for us to not be married. God didn't intend for us to go hang around and shacking up with everybody that comes around. God didn't intend for us to be promiscuous when it comes to a sexual activity. God doesn't intend for you and I to have sexual conduct outside of marriage. I know those are old-fashioned statements, but they're still as true today as they ever have been. And the reason America is in the mess it's in today, because we've broken down our society by breaking down the lines in our life that cause us to do the right thing. So here, she entices him. And when do we sin? When lust is conceived, with what opportunity we sin. And so, notice she says, verse 19, notice this is a married woman. Verse 19 says, for the good man is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. He has taken a bag of money with him, and he will come home at the day appointed. So she's saying, listen, my husband's not home. So while the cat's away, the mice will play. No, that's not the proper behavior. There's something wrong with a society that says, if my husband or my wife isn't present with me, I can do whatever I want to do. And we live in a society like that today, where commitment means nothing, where our word means nothing. When I married my wife, she married me, we promised each other before God that we'd live one for another for the rest of our life. And that's what God expects out of us. Look in verse 21, with much fair speech, she causes him to yield. With a flowering of her lips, she forces him. So they go on and they commit inappropriate acts. And they end up to fall into sin. Now I want you to notice, as we wrap up this chapter, the results of sexual sin. And it doesn't matter if it's the man or the woman. This is just being spoken about from one side, but it does refer to both. Verse 24, hearken unto me, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways, and go not astray in her paths. So don't let your heart be deceived. Don't deceive yourself into thinking that nothing's going to matter. I'm standing here tonight telling you, I can't tell you how many people I know who are in prison today because of sexual sin. Men. I can't tell you how many lives have been destroyed for men and women because of sexual sin, and how many marriages and children have been destroyed because their parents couldn't live appropriately, modestly, one for another. So don't let your heart deceive. You're going to be deceived. You're going to get caught. It does have a price. Sexual sin does have a price. And I know that every time somebody marches down the same road, and this is the same road every time, it's because they're not walking with God. You didn't see anything here about a relationship with God. You see nothing here of a child of the child of God spending time with his Heavenly Father during this time. You don't see a prayer life here. You don't see Bible reading here. You don't see walking with God here. You don't see church attendance here. You see a void of all of that. So they've deceived themselves into thinking in their heart that I'll be all right. For she has cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Lives have been shattered. That's what this is saying. The result of sexual sin is a shattered life for men and for women. Shattered dreams, shattered homes. I hurt tonight for the lives of young people that have been destroyed because their parents can't stay married. My wife and I, over the years, have known many preachers and husbands and wives, many good Christian families whose lives, ministries, and families have been torn apart and destroyed because of sin on both sides, by men and from women. It never pays off. It's never going to go like we think it's going to go. It always leads to destruction. So look, it says, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. So no matter how strong you may think you are, it's going to get you. You're never so strong that you can overcome sin when you're not walking with God. You're never so strong. I could tell you preachers that I know right now tonight that are sitting in a prison somewhere because they quit reading their Bible. And they quit praying over time. They kept trying to do the right things on the outside, but ended up in sin. Sexual sin, because they traveled down the same very steps. I hurt for a family in Texas tonight whose husband, the wife of the man, was a pastor of a church in Texas. And he led a double life. Many people thought he was very spiritual. But apparently he must have quit reading his Bible somewhere along the line and quit praying, because he ended up to go to bars and pick up women while he was supposedly out on preaching trips. And one night, in a faraway city, on a state halfway across the country, he got caught trying to rape a woman that he picked up in a bar. Once he was arrested, they took him down and booked him, and he hung himself and killed himself in the prison cell, or in the jail cell, because he knew what he had done. And he did have a wonderful relationship as far with God. Apparently, for many people's knowledge, he was an effective pastor of a large church, in fact. But something happened. Can I tell you what happened? He walked down the same path. He thought he was a strong man, but he was slain by the sexual sin. Verse 27, her house is the way to hell. How can you get any plainer than that? Going down to the chambers of death. Sexual sin kills. I'm not talking about diseases. I'm talking about your life. I'm talking about its results that it has on the lives of people. So it's important then, ladies and gentlemen, that we learn to walk the paths that God wants us to. So we have a warning here tonight. And chapter 7 is the path to stay off of. I love, again, the way he starts the chapter. He says, my little children, my son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. So God wants us to be careful. My son, keep my words. What words are those? Listen, there's a path that leads to destruction and death. It may not lead to physical death, but it will lead to the death of your life. And that's what he's warning us about. So chapter 7 then becomes very important, and we need to apply it to our lives. Father, thank you for what we've learned tonight.